From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. BP is expressing optimism about its latest effort to contain the massive Gulf of Mexico oil spill. Despite an earlier setback, engineers are using robot submarines to put a mile-long pipe in place to send the oil to the surface. Chief Operating Officer Doug Suttles.
Once we insert the tool into the pipe, well, of course, the reason we're using this insertion tool technique is to try to exclude the water so that we won't have the hydrate problem we had the previous time with the containment dome.
If it works, it would be the first time any of the oil has been captured since an explosion weeks ago. Eileen Fleming of member station WWNO reports that some local officials are more worried about the oil they can't see than the slick on the surface.
Coast Guard Rear Admiral Mary Landry says officials will make information available that shows how closely the underwater oil is monitored.
We have a pretty good handle on the oil we're dealing with. We have a very good handle on the oil we're dealing with, both at the source, through the water column, and on the surface, and as it hits the shoreline, and we're tracking it constantly.
Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal says he worries about the balls of oil showing up hundreds of miles apart on the shoreline, but Landry says she's confident the underwater slick poses no immediate danger of covering the coast. For NPR News, I'm Eileen Fleming in New Orleans.
The government of Thailand says it's going to impose a curfew in Bangkok after violent clashes between troops and anti-government protesters. Rolling street battles have left some two dozen people dead and scores wounded. The army began trying to clear protesters from Bangkok's commercial district on Thursday. The euro has hit a new low against the dollar. That's good for American travelers. But as Frank Browning reports, this time it's raising a debate over the fate of the European safety net.
For German industrial exporters and French perfume makers, the plummeting euro is fantastic news. Hoteliers and fancy restaurateurs are also smiling at the prospect of a boom in reservations. But long-jawed worry has settled over the political class about whether this time the euro's fall has any bottom in sight, and whether its source, the Greek economic implosion, is signaling a crisis in the very existence of what Americans call the European welfare state, the system of public health, retirement, transportation, and housing programs that has made this continent the envy of much of the world. Spain has announced a 15% cut in its budget, following harder cuts in Greece and pending cuts in Portugal and Britain, as the fate of the currency itself rests uncertain. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.
A Pakistani man detained at the U.S. Embassy in Chile has been charged with possessing explosives, then set free pending further investigation. Police say traces of an explosive were found on the man's clothes and other possessions. He'd been called to the embassy to be told his U.S. visa was revoked because he'd been added to a terrorism watch list. This is NPR News. An Episcopal diocese in California has ordained the denomination's second openly gay bishop. The Reverend Mary Glasspool of Baltimore has been consecrated as an assistant bishop of the Diocese of Los Angeles. The move could cause further friction between the Episcopal Church and the worldwide Anglican Communion, but diocese spokesman Bob Williams says the dispute may be dying down.
There are many young people here for whom the sexuality of the bishops is not a concern, and we see this more and more going forward.
The service went largely as planned, but it was disrupted at the beginning by a man and then a young boy who both said homosexuality is a sin. They were escorted out. The National Transportation Safety Board is releasing new details about a fiery crash on Interstate 65 in Kentucky that killed 11 people in March. Lisa Autry has more from member station WKYU in Bowling Green.
In the pre-dawn hours of March 26th, a tractor-trailer heading south on I-65 near Munfordville, Kentucky, crossed the median and slammed head-on with a passenger van carrying a Mennonite family on their way to a wedding in Iowa. Nine adults and an infant were killed. The semi-driver, Kenneth Lehman of Alabama, also died at the scene. The NTSB doubts a medical condition led to the crash. Toxicology tests on Lehman were negative for drugs or alcohol. Investigators have learned the driver was on a cell phone leading up to the crash, but it's not known if he was on the phone when the semi left the interstate. The truck was on a 690-mile trip from Lansing, Michigan to Cullman, Alabama. Lehman left Lansing around 4 p.m. the previous day, with the accident occurring about 13 hours later. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Autry in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
This is NPR.